You're listening to Unite and Heal America on KBC 790. This is Matt Mattern, your host.
You're with Unite and Heal America with Matt Mattern, and I am your guest host, Harry Berberian. And today we have a fantastic guest, John David Ware, producer of Final Frequency. And the reason why we're having him on the show today is because it's a show, it's a movie about Tesla, somebody that actually was an innovator when it comes to green energy. John, welcome to Unite and Heal America.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. Excellent. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, John, and about the movie Final Frequency, about Tesla and the movie that you're producing. So tell us a little about yourself and the movie.
Well, it's a movie that would be encapsulated by the sentence, "What if Nikola Tesla had a secret notebook that fell into the wrong hands?"
Wow.
So that's the hook. And people know a little bit about Tesla and what he stood for. But, as we were researching this movie, we found out a lot more than meets the eye. And being fascinated by his research and by the use of his technology in the, you know, in today's world, even still, and it has permutations to your cell phone, television, the light bulb, radio, all that. And we wanted to examine how that looks today, and also what does the misuse of his technology look like as well.
Interesting. So what inspired you, first of all, to do the film? What about Tesla? You know, you must be somebody that is really an examiner of humanity and an examiner of what's going on in our environment. What drew you to Tesla initially?
Well, once you start hearing, when you hear the hook, the log line, you know, what if Tesla's secret notebook with the most deadly formulas fell into the wrong hands? You're like, wow, I know a little bit about Tesla. And then you look into it a little bit more. And he had somewhere between 300 and 700 patents. And, you know, all the patents for Marconi's invention of radio came from Tesla, 17 patents.
Right. I like that. Marconi's supposed invention. Nikola Tesla was the one that really, truly paved the way for the radio.
Yeah. So when Marconi announced that he had invented radio, Tesla said, well, that's fine. Let him think that. He's only using 17 of my patents, you know. So Nikola Tesla was a bit of a showman and obviously competitive, but he was so far into his own mind and just fascination with who the man was kind of led to, well, what does that look like on today's world stage? And what does it look like, you know, with some of the technologies of the day, what is possible today and what might be possible tomorrow? So I can tell you a little bit more about the plot if you'd like to hear.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So basically, there's a technology called HARP, and HARP is High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project.
And that's a real thing.
It is.
HARP. Okay, yeah. Got it.
And all the governments, big governments, China, Russia, US, they're all using these, you know, arrays. And basically, you can think of it as a giant microwave antenna, a field of antennas, broadcasting energy directly up into the ionosphere, which is 80 miles up. And that is then able to be directed anywhere around the planet to precisely any destination. And you know, think of it as a laser focus kind of thing, and you can imagine what kind of permutations this could have, you know. And there's questions of, you know, things like the Cuba incident. They call it the Havana syndrome. This is thought to be a sonic weapon, you know, that it was in 2017 in Cuba, in Havana. Some diplomats were disturbed greatly by, you know, nausea, by fuzziness, brain fog, inability to think, and just like general unease, and they were unable to perform their duties because of what is supposed to be a sonic weapon attack. So we took that right there, combined with some of the HAARP technology. And basically what happens is you have these elitist scientists who are eugenicists as well, and they're trying to find Tesla's lost notebook so that they can amp up their earthquake-producing HAARP array so that they can target that energy down on the G20 World Leaders Summit in LA on the fault line, collapse it on them, and upset the balance of power.
The only
thing standing in their way is a ragtag bunch of misfits led by a grad student, a kind of a campus security cop demoted from the police force for doing the right thing, and a deaf PTSD veteran. And they have a couple of armies, which are LARPers, to create a distraction. And the actual veteran, we used homeless veteran. That was important to us to get them in there and use actual veterans. They're a real part, a vibrant part of our society.
So these powers that be are using the HAARP technology maliciously, correct?
You mean currently?
Today? Yeah. Well. No. In this movie, but like, how are some of the ideas, like the environmental ideas that Tesla had? You know, maybe let's also talk about that and how maybe some of those ideas could be used in a beneficial way, and maybe as it relates to HAARP as well.
Okay. Well, Tesla's life's work was really to harness renewable energy. And right. Basically, he had one of the very first, if not the first, hydroelectric power plant on Niagara Falls. And so he was extremely involved with that. And he wanted to take these renewable sources of energy and essentially eliminate fuel. His thought was to transmit not only wirelessly, but also through the earth, using the earth as a medium for conducting energy, and transmit this energy wirelessly to planes, trains, and automobiles, thus eliminating the fossil fuel storage, production, and all that wasteful energy that happens when we do use fossil fuels. He wanted to make it a lot cleaner with this wireless conduction. And it wasn't just wireless. It was also, what you have is a Wardenclyffe looks like a big radiating transmitter, but apparently it's not just for wireless and radiating energy. It's also to drive the energy down through the earth and then be able to use the earth as a conduit or a medium in which you could transmit free wireless energy to the entire planet. Now, if you can do that, you can eliminate a lot of things that go along with fossil fuels, with storing of energy, because you're broadcasting it through the earth and it's a lot cleaner. It requires less energy to actually transmit because you're using the negative and positive charges of, it's kind of like a battery, sending this energy through the earth. And this was his dream, to transmit free energy and free wireless energy. And this is kind of also what got him in trouble with his financier, JP Morgan, because, let's face it, the profit motive is why business happens.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Wanted to keep
him away. right. Absolutely. And so, just like Tesla, was a firm proponent, obviously an innovator of AC, and, the world, including Edison, tried to depopularize the idea. He was, ultimately victorious, and similarly, I believe that this same concept of using the Earth's energy would also be victorious. But we're going to expound more on this later here in our next segment. We got in a couple minutes here. We're going to be coming up, but I really want to expound more on this concept of using the Earth's energy and the sun's energy to truly be like a green economy. And because really, I mean, we're living, to me, you know, in kind of like in the still in the dinosaur age, being so dependent on fossil fuels, correct?
You could say that, yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So again, this is KBC's Unite and Heal America with Matt Mattern. I'm your guest host, Harry Barbarian, and we discuss things on the show that pertain mostly to the environment and how we can make a difference when it comes to the environment. We have a fascinating guest again, John David Ware, producer of Final Frequency. We'll be right back.
As you may know, your host, Matt Mattern of Unite and Heal America, is also the founder of Mattern Law Group. Their team of experienced employment, consumer, and environmental attorneys are dedicated to leveling the playing field by giving everyone access to the highest quality legal representation. Contact 844-MLG-4U, that's 844-MLG-4U, or 844-654-4968, 844-654-4968.
All right, you're listening to KABC's Unite and Heal America with Matt Mattern, and I'm your guest host, Harry Barbarian. And again, today on the show, we have a fascinating guest, John David Ware, who's the producer of Final Frequency, a movie about Tesla and how some of his ideas fell into malicious hands. But we're also talking mostly about how some of Tesla's ideas and green energy ideas truly still are being implemented today, but can be implemented on a much wider scale. Again, thank you for coming on the program, John. So tell us a little bit more about, like, you know, let's expound more, you know, because we're focused on the environment, about Tesla's plan for like wireless free energy for the planet. What other things maybe in your research for the movie did you discover about Tesla?
Well, as I said, he had this dream to have this wireless free energy for the planet. And he also was a conservationist far before it was, you know, in vogue and even desired. People were just scrounging to make a living in those days. And Tesla was looking at the light bulb. Okay. And, you know, Edison is credited with that patent, I believe, although it should be shared with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And Tesla saw that the light bulb has two products. You know, it's not just light, it's mostly heat. In fact, you know, its product is more heat than light in the incandescent bulb. And so what did he invent? He invented the fluorescent bulb, which reduced the heat and thereby the energy consumption as well, or the wasted energy, by about 90%. And you can touch a fluorescent bulb. You can handle it while it's
yet another thing about Tesla. I never knew that he invented the fluorescent bulb. But go on.
Yeah, yeah, he invented that as well as neon bulbs as well. So, you know, both of those have far less energy consumption than the incandescent, and so therefore, you know, those two inventions right there. I mean, think of 90% reduction in wasted energy, and there's your green solution right there, you know, that's being used in every office today. In fact, there's many places you can't even buy an incandescent bulb, nor would you want to necessarily. But, you know, the fluorescence, that cuts energy consumption probably by 40-50%.
It's something that's often overlooked. But the thing that really fascinates me is this idea of tapping in to the Earth's energy. And, you know, was there anything else you maybe uncovered about that whole, you know, research and, you know, about Tesla's involvement in that?
Well, in our classroom scene, we discussed that. And in the classroom scene, you have the students are being lectured by the professor. And that's played by, brilliantly, I might add, by Charles Shaughnessy, who was a star of The Nanny with Fran Drescher.
Oh, wow.
And so he has all the kids grab a light bulb at one point, and then he turns on the Tesla coil, and he's able to light up all their light bulbs in the scene, showing the fact that Tesla's radiating energy was able to produce wirelessly the energy needed to light up these light bulbs. And so to Tesla, one thing that really was fascinating is that all of life and everything has frequency. We have a what's called a resonant frequency. And when you reach the resonant frequency of, say, a building or the Verrazzo Narrows Bridge, for instance, you destroy these things. So, you know, you can misuse this frequency technology to destroy things. And that's, you know, part of what the spectrum is for this HARP technology. It's all, you know, energy along a spectrum. There's visible light, there's infrared, and there's, you know, all kinds of energy that are all on the spectrum. So you have this, this thing that has a resonant frequency, and then you can tap into that frequency and either destroy it or, you know, make it jump, make it do different things. And so that was fascinating. And, you know, the idea of having the Earth used as the medium to distribute free electricity. And it wasn't just electricity. Tesla's dream was not just free energy. It was also wireless communication for everyone. So to him, a medium was going to contain all these frequencies, not just the energy, but also wireless communication. And he, in fact, envisioned a communicating device that was about the size of a wallet. Think cell phones. Okay. So he had in mind what we have today in our wireless phone communication system. And, you know, that is, it has profound implications on our world, of course. And, you know, the implications on the green energy system or the green process, the greenification of the world, have to do with the towers and, you know, what you use, what you used to have to put up as, you know, infrastructure for like a wired system is now wireless. So Right. You can eliminate a lot of, you know, tinkering with the Earth's physical makeup, like sinking poles, putting in wires, junking up the landscape. And so the wireless technology was something that I think he saw, not just frequency for energy, but also for wireless communication, much like what we're seeing today.
Right. So, I mean, there's a huge untapped both energy resource in the Earth and the means to the means for powering wireless communication as well. So, I mean, again, you know, it'd be interesting to find out how one, you know, how we could go about tapping, you know, utilizing Tesla's idea to go about tapping this unused energy of the Earth to make this a greener planet. You maybe, because you have a good imagination. Well, I mean, you know, beyond the capitalism, you know, trying to stop it from, you know, obviously getting a free resource. But what I wonder what some ideas we could use as people, as you know, struggling with, you know, an environment truly at risk and using some of this untapped energy in the Earth. What ideas, if Tesla was around today, I'm wondering what he, you know, what he would propose. You know, maybe, can you think of any ideas?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, as far as, you know, the elimination of fuels, as I mentioned before, it would be, you know, instead of you go to the fuel comes to you through this wireless technology and, you know, through, you know, the light bulbs that I mentioned in the film and, you know, other things that Tesla would do, such as, you know, he held a light bulb and it was a fluorescent bulb. He would light it up with no wires attached to it at all.
And how the heck was he able to do that again?
Well, it's just by radiating energy. And the Tesla coil is a perfect example of that. It, you know, shoots out plasma with low voltage, so it doesn't fry your It doesn't fry you when you touch it, but you know, it has the power to connect to things wirelessly, and that includes the light bulbs. And so if you can get the energy to reach the fluorescent bulb or even an incandescent bulb, you can get it to light up. And that wireless technology is ubiquitous in our world. You know, you see it, wireless routers, wireless internet, wireless phones. And soon, I think we will see Tesla's ideas realized in that we'll have wireless energy more and more. I mean, today you can get a little plate and put your cell phone on it. It'll charge your phone. It's not very efficient, but you know, it could be with some modifications. And Tesla was all about that.
So you're saying that we're going to innovate some of Tesla's ideas and actually somehow we're going to be able to wirelessly transmit the energy from the earth to power our machinery rather than relying on fossil fuels.
Absolutely. And I think that time is absolutely here now. And you're going to see, like with the 5G technology, that's all about wireless energy, you know, not just, I mean, but the medium, you know, again, I can't stress enough the frequency, because it's energy is frequency and communication is also frequency. So the 5G can carry energy, and it does. It carries high energy, high voltage, not voltage, but high energy. And it can power stuff as well as carry communication waves.
Right. So, I mean, I imagine between the sun and the earth, we have more than enough resource to power the machinery of life. And we don't need to rely on fossil fuels. And it's not being implemented correctly in our society. Maybe, you know, it would be interesting, to brainstorm some ideas to implement some of these, you know, because I have an innate feeling that Nikola Tesla is right, because he is right about a lot of things. And, you know, it's something that, you know, really, truly the solutions to our environment may very well lay under our feet. So, which is truly ironic. Maybe do you think of a brainstorm idea? Like, you know, I mean, in terms of what we could do, like in a realistic way, you know, I mean, Elon Musk, you know, harnessing, you know, Tesla automobiles, that's all well and good, but you know, there's battery storage implications and all that stuff. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, Tesla was involved in, you know, developing a rechargeable battery, but I think he, towards the end of his life, he was distracted by, you know, weapons technology. He was very concerned in that those weapons would be used for defensive purposes versus offensive. And, you know, that is in itself huge conservation implications there, because, you know, the destruction of the planet versus the protection of the planet.
Right. By the way, we're going to continue this conversation. Again, this is KBC's Unite and Heal America with Matt Mattern. I'm your guest host, Harry Barbarian. More on this with John David Ware next. Again, this is KBC's Unite and Heal America with Matt Mattern, and I'm your guest host, Harry Barbarian. And again, we have John David Ware, producer of Final Frequency, the movie, a movie about Tesla. And we're going to continue this conversation about Tesla and, you know, his, you know, getting distracted towards the end, you know, when it came to weapons, both the offensive and defensive nature of them. Tell us a little bit more about that, John.
Yeah, you know, Tesla's was being pushed and pulled every which way by, you know, the whims of his incredibly fertile mind, of course. But as he saw the drums of war beating louder and louder with Hitler coming to power, you know, what was on his mind? Defensive weapons. offense and how to combat the offense that was going on in the world. So he died in 1943 at the New Yorker Hotel. And I recently went there to shoot a documentary, and I went to the places he went. And to kind of deal with some of these pressures of weight of the world. I mean, if you're doing stuff that's, you know, bordering on world destruction, which he was dealing with those elements, much as Einstein was, then you're going to have a lot of weight of the world on you. Plus dealing with J.P. Morgan and financiers and, you know, fighting with Edison and Westinghouse and J.P. Morgan, all those things. He would go and retreat to Bryant Park, where we shot some footage, and he would commune with the pigeons. He even claimed to have fallen in love with a pigeon, like physical love with a pigeon. And it was there that he would go to think about what he was doing. And he had begun to focus, very hyper-focus on weapons technology. And so there's a memo from the FBI that was dated September 22, 1940. And it was sent to J. Edgar Hoover. And it was concerning an article printed in the New York Times. And it was based on Tesla's invention, which was called Teleforce. Tesla claimed that this could melt the bombs on planes from 250 miles away. And it would have the diameter of 250 millionth centimeters of, it was a tiny beam is what it was. And so this could be directed, and the media dubbed this as the death ray. Okay. And so Tesla was focused on this as the media was kind of demonizing it. And, you know, Tesla said that, hey, I'll produce this immediately. The price tag was $2 million, which was a huge sum at the time, you know, in 1940s. And he said, but the government could not interfere. He would suffer no interference from experts. So it was shortly after that that he died. And it was fascinating because, you know, one U.S. president, a recent one, was associated with, when Tesla died, there was, you know, there was a commission that was set up. The government swooped in and they grabbed all of his effects to make sure that there were no weapons of war or things that could be very dangerous if they fell into enemy hands. And the uncle of a U.S. president was the one they tapped. He was an engineer and a scientist to essentially go through Tesla's effects and pronounce them as dangerous or nothing to see here. And of course, nothing to see here was the verdict. But can you tell me which U.S. president that guy was? I mean, relation to which U.S. president?
Which one? I don't know.
Was it Eisenhower? Was it Clinton? Was it Obama? Was it Trump? Was it Hoover? Was it Kennedy?
I'm going to guess Clinton, but I don't know.
The guy's name was John G. Trump.
Interesting.
The uncle to our former President Trump.
Interesting.
So he actually went through, you know, all these trunks of Tesla's effects with a fine tooth comb, and, you know, eventually pronounced it interesting but not significant. And the notebook that we're talking about in the movie, people say, is there a notebook? And I'm like, yes, there is. There is a secret notebook, but there's probably hundreds of secret notebooks. So at the time Tesla died, he claimed to have 80 trunks of research papers, inventions, all this stuff stored in the New Yorker Hotel. Well, when they returned the stuff after pronouncing it inert, so to speak, there were only 60 trunks, you know. And in the actual FBI memo, where they detailed, you know, opening the safe that Tesla had in his room, the New Yorker, they talk about one of the guys removed a book, and it was given to Sava Kasanovich, who was Tesla's nephew, He's also the former in the government of Yugoslavia. And he took a book out, and it was birthday salutations or greetings, you know, for Tesla's 75th birthday, but it was in the safe. So we're like, okay, well, what was really in that book? Was that a cover for something? So there is this book that is represented by not only that, but, you know, probably hundreds, literally hundreds of other journals that Tesla would have recorded his thoughts and experiments in.
Fascinating. Now we were talking earlier, also we touched upon in the break, we were talking about some of the Nikola Tesla's ideas about harnessing cosmic energy. Can you expound on that?
Yeah, cosmic energy is different than solar energy. And Tesla had a real desire to harness these cosmic rays and use them to operate devices. He actually said about cosmic rays is that their attractiveness and the features of cosmic rays is their constancy. They showered down on us throughout the whole 24 hours. And this is a quote from Tesla. And he said, and if a planet is developed to use their power, it will not require devices for storing energy as would be necessary with devices using wind, tide, or sunlight. So in other words, you've got this cosmic energy raining down all day long. And instead of collecting it and storing it, like with a solar panel, you're collecting and transmitting. So you're taking this energy that's all the time coming and sending it to where it needs to go. And so if this is possible, you know, which I'm still researching that, but if it's possible, then you wouldn't eliminate the need for a bunch of battery storage and plants to store the energy and then use it at the proper time. And then you could have, you know, far less heavy metal batteries made out of lithium, cadmium, things like that. And that is, you know, those batteries are a huge drain on, you know, the cleanliness of the planet. And so I think that, you know, essentially using the medium of the earth, which was part of his distribution system, it was not just the earth, but also the wireless technology through the air, then I think his idea was absolutely to reduce dependency on some of these fossil fuels and other ways that we're used to of powering our devices.
Wow. So between the solar energy, the Earth's energy, and cosmic energy, potentially we could be, we're not utilizing, you know, enough of these energy sources, and we could be doing so wirelessly, quote unquote, to power, let's say, our vehicles, and not to have, you know, stored batteries. You know, Matt Mattern, the host of the show, he drives a hydrogen car, and he's not a real fan of the, you know, battery storage, and because it's not good for our environment, ironically. So, I mean, the thing is that, so you're thinking that it's possible, well, who knows, but, you know, we have to test it to use this cosmic energy to power, let's say, vehicles and not have to use stored batteries.
Yeah. And the idea was, as I said, Tesla thought that it was possible to eliminate fuel, you know, so you don't go to the fuel comes to your car, to your plane, to the train, you know, on a wireless energy delivered distribution system, or it comes through the earth and comes up through your diodes or whatever, you know, your terminals, powers you that way. And it's kind of like, you know, you've seen those trams and they have the little energy bar up top, and that's what powers them. But again, it needs a track to run. Now, Tesla was talking about a wireless way of delivering it. And, you know, it kind of was coinciding with, you know, delivering through the Earth's crust through the earth, as well as, you know, wireless where you need it. Maybe wireless was the last mile, you know.
So, I mean, I would say the key question here is to truly how do we implement the next, you know, stage of, you know, Nikola Tesla's ideas and, you know, inventions and research to be able to now implement and test out and research and develop these, you know, the use of the Earth's energy, cosmic energy. We've already utilized, you know, solar energy, but the Earth and the cosmic energy, and have it wirelessly transmitted to our machines out there. I mean, that's the next chapter. The question is, how do we implement it? Again, you're listening to KABC's Unite and Heal America with Matt Matter, and I'm your guest host, Harry Berberian, and we'll be right back. KABC's Unite and Heal America with Matt Matter, and I'm your guest host, Harry Berberian. And again, we have John David Ware, producer of the movie Final Frequency, all about Tesla. And again, it's very fascinating. We were just talking again about, you know, how maybe we can, you know, utilize some of, you know, like, the, you know, chipping out the next chapter for Tesla's ideas to be implemented, to use the Earth's energy and the cosmic energy to in order to be more environmentally friendly. Maybe, you know, you're a producer and you know, this movie, it's a fictional account, but at the same time, there's some reality to it. Maybe tell me a little bit more about, like, in the creating of this movie, maybe how you can see how some of Tesla's visions can be, you know, brought to fruition.
Well, when we were creating the movie, we started with a pitch from Tim Lowry. You know, he's the one that pitched us the idea with Tesla's lost notebook fell into the wrong hands. And that was fascinating. And, you know, we were looking at different ways that Tesla's energy and his patents, his life's work have been used. And part of what we looked at was the Havana syndrome and the sonic energy weapons attack that happened in Havana and has happened, you know, in the last few years with increasing frequency in Washington, D.C., Austria. It's been happening a lot. And that is part of what we took, you know, as our impetus for creating these sonic weapons in the film. And so the sonic weapons are used by the bad guys to try to defeat the good guys and find that notebook. And the reason they're unable to affect this one guy is he's deaf. And so sonic weapons don't affect him. So we thought that was a cool thing. The HARP technology and, you know, using HARP to create an earthquake, you know, these things are out there. Yeah. But there's evidence that, you know, we are affecting weather and storms with HARP. You can go on the internet and find, you know, I've seen a blast that comes from an area where, let's just say, there's a HARP array. It comes and it blasts this eye of a storm, and the storm takes a 90 degree turn and heads for landfall. And I'm like, whoa, that's scary looking stuff. So, there's many, many things that we researched and looked at, and we wanted to, you know, set up the basic question that, you know, are people equal or do some have more worth based on their intellect, their money, their abilities, and all that? And so we set up the central theme and question of the film as eugenicist scientists with bad ideas against, you know, the everyday man and woman. That's the clash of ideas that you always have in a film. And that's what we did. So, you know, what we had to do is find a cast that was worthy of what we were doing. Kirby Bliss Blanton is our star, and Lou Ferrigno Jr. plays Frank, and he's the campus cop that kind of falls for the girl and starts to, you know, go and rescue the professor, who's played by Charles Shaughnessy from The Nanny. And then we have Luke Golden and Richard Berge. And those are the main characters. And it just worked out really nice. We shot it in about 15 days. And currently it's being distributed and it's available on Salem Now, which is watch.salemnow.com. And there's my phone going off again.
Old school phone ring.
Yeah, it's actually a rotary. It's a museum piece. Tesla would love it.
Sure.
We have a great cast and really exciting pacing on the thing. And we're just very excited to get it out on Amazon. That'll be in about 10 days. It'll be available on Amazon. It'll be on Vudu, Google, and Apple TV. So that's coming soon. And we also have a Tesla conference coming very soon, which is actually Sunday.
Tesla conference. Tell us about the Tesla conference.
The Tesla conference is, our website is finalfrequencyfilm.com. And that has all the information about the film as well as the Tesla conference. The conference is going to be at 12:30 Pacific daylight time to 3:30. And of course, that's 3:30 to 6:30 Eastern time. And we're going to have four experts that are going to talk about Tesla for 3 hours. And we're going to show a little mini documentary that I shot at the Hotel New Yorker, which was Tesla's home for 10 years. Last 10 years of his life, he actually died there in room 33, 27, and 28. And we shot a documentary there, just basically walking through, you know, the hotel. There's still a lot of infrastructure from Tesla's day because it would take a fortune to get rid of it and get, you know, take it out. Plus, I mean, it's fascinating. You've got this control grid for the DC power system that used to power the hotel. They were not on the grid back in the day. It opened in 1930, you know, right at about the height of the Depression. So it was difficult for them, but they did survive. And so anyway, the conference is going to have Mark Cipher. It'll have Mark is an author, expert on Tesla. It'll have Joe Kinney, who was the building manager, chief engineer at the New Yorker Hotel for 10 years. It'll have the past president of the Tesla Science Foundation, and it'll have Gary Peterson, who's also an author. And we're going to talk about the Tesla's life and, you know, who was he and why did he end up penniless, broke in New York? What were his ideas on renewable energy? We're going to talk about many different things. And then we're going to show clips from the film, like a extended sneak peek of Final Frequency, as well as we'll show the documentary. And we'll award some of the prizes. We got some exciting prizes for the contest. We've got a Tesla challenge, which you can also find at finalfrequencyfilm.com. It's 33 questions because Tesla was on the 33rd floor. Mm-hmm. He was obsessed with the numbers 3, 6, and 9.
Right.
And you answer the questions, and if you score high enough, then you're eligible to win 2 nights stay in Tesla's actual room at the New Yorker. And we also have developed, we have produced a duplicate, a replica of Tesla's secret notebook that, as seen in the film Final Frequency. It's a leather-bound piece that's really, really nice for collectors. And it has printed in the pages Tesla's actual handwriting describing his own experiments on an application to an engineer society. And it also has a happy message, which didn't get a lot with Tesla. Let's face it, he was a very serious guy. But it says, "Happy voyage, Richard," written on a playbill for a play called The Comic History of England, and signed Nikola Tesla.
Wow. How in the heck did you get that?
Well, actually, the samples of his writing came from the building manager of the New Yorker for 10 years, Joe Kinney. And so we're very grateful to him, along with all of our panelists. It's going to be a free panel. People can just go and register and tune in. It's going to be fascinating on Sunday, this Sunday.
Well, that's fascinating. And again, how can people access it? Again, remind us.
Finalfrequencyfilm.com.
Finalfrequencyfilm.com. And what is the frequency of Final Frequency refer to? The frequency. Again, remind our listeners.
Well, as in the classroom scene and Final Frequency, all is frequency according to Tesla. And, you know, you have a frequency. If I were to find your resonant frequency and duplicate that, pump that amount of energy into you, you would explode theoretically. And they've done these experiments where you find the resonant frequency of a building, or in the film, you see a bridge. And the wind gets this bridge to sway and sway and sway. And finally, the vibration, I mean, it's mechanical vibration, or it's, you know, it's a beam of vibration, whatever it is, you get something to vibrate at the resonance frequency, it blows up.
Do you see yourself, John, possibly, you know, after the success of this film, like maybe even doing, like, you know, maybe a story about, you know, exploring themes of Tesla, maybe more so about how some of his visions could be used for to make a difference. I mean, which is such a hot topic for the environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this film is science fiction, so its main purpose is to entertain. I would like to see a film that really gets into the true story of Tesla, because it's incredible and fantastic in itself. He was a gambling addict. He had mental breakdowns. He went crazy at certain points in his life. And, you know, he seemed to operate in a kind of a trance-like state, mainly focusing on his experiments and what he was doing. But I'd like to see more true story of who he was, and, you know, the implications for a green planet as well.
This has been a fascinating topic. We're out of time now, but we've had John David Ware, producer of Final Frequency. Give us the name of the website.
Finalfrequencyfilm.com.
Terrific. This has been Unite and Heal America on KBC with Matt Mattern. And we'll see you next week, Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific on KBC 790 AM. Thank you so much.